Trista Crick is a content queen, co-founder of the Daily Dove Sports. Catch her on the Heat Check podcast. She is everywhere on Meta, and she joins us now. Good morning, Trista. How are we feeling?
I'm good. I have a question, though, for you guys regarding this song, because I have thoughts regarding the part about Drake saying he has a side chick with a 5S with her screen cracked.
Yeah.
And, like, if I'm that girl and I'm dating Drake, you better fix my effing screen.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fair ask, I think. But, you know, maybe it's I think it's a side piece. Isn't that, like, is that dating?
Listen, you've got hundreds of millions of dollars. It's $100 to fix my screen. Clearly, I ain't got it, or I would fix the screen. Have you ever touched an iPhone with a cracked screen? You get little pieces of whatever the glass is in your finger, and it's like a constant, so it like starts to go numb.
Yep.
You know what I mean? If you ain't got it, you know it's a constant struggle and a pain point. If she doesn't have $100 to fix her screen and you have $100 million, you're one of the worst humans on earth.
Well, let me ask, why doesn't she have Apple Care? Because if she had Apple Care, it'd only be like $30.
Or a screen protector.
Could not. Well, again, these are cost measures. He's clearly in the gutter getting his side chick.
Well,
they don't have it.
I think there is. He's drawing a line. It's like, you know, if you're my main, you know, I'll do for you. But if you're my side, it's not about the money. It's about the principle.
This is how side chicks start hitting licks on their rich guys, and they set them up.
Yep.
And find dudes with ski masks to come and take all their jewelry. Maybe you'd avoid all that if you just paid for her screen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to your oral history of that. What year would this have been?
That is some serious
like
evil.
Maybe 2015?
2013. I wanted to look at the 5S also was like the lowest budget iPhone. Like he made sure to say it was a 5S too. It's just dirty.
Dirty.
He was showing us his true character 10, 12, 15 years ago.
And he's continued to do it into 2026. There's no doubt about
that.
Thank you.
I just wanted to start there because you played the song and it's been on my mind.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brad.
Well,
we got an education.
You know what they say about Trista Crick, don't you?
I don't.
They say that
she's always right.
Trista Crick is either right or she's not right yet.
Yet. Correct.
A true visionary. Like,
just hang on. When I say some wild stuff
that's right.
about your team or your favorite player, just hang in with me a little bit. I've been around the league. I know how the business goes, and I kind of see the writings on the wall before people are willing to accept it themselves.
Yeah, you're like the Vincent Van Gogh of meta content. I mean, you know, only appreciated later is Trista Crick. I mean, we had you on. We said, what the hell are you talking about? Trading John Morant. This guy is now, for the people out there, I want to make sure that we specify. This was like the first two games of the season, okay?
Correct.
So it was not, you know, last week, 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But we were saying, Trista, you have completely lost your mind here. You know, how do you trade a guy that's so important to the box office and the tickets? And here we are, months later, John Morant is on the trading block and currently favored to be traded by the Memphis Grizzlies. What do you make of it?
I think I need to be on payroll from the one thing we know the Memphis Grizzlies can do, which maybe I'm not so good at, is scouting guys in the second round, finding value. But it's the roster management, I think, that I could help out with.
What do you make of how the Grizz and Ja got to this point? Do you agree with the ultimate decision here to you know, try to move off of him? Just what's your evaluation of this situation and how it's deteriorated in Memphis?
I was thinking about this on a broader level the other night, and like, these types of players, the Jaw, and listen, there's differences between all of them, right? And you can say they're not the same guy. There's, you know, Jaw does this and Trey does that, and like, how could you even compare them? But like, Jaw, Trey, and LaMelo are a certain kind of player, right? Which is, to me, dazzling, spectacular, a ticket sales monster. a player that, you know, pushes kids to the box office and wants to go to games and buy jerseys. And they all have, like, unique traits. But the gist is that defensively, there's issues there. Decision-making, whether it's on the court or off the court, there's issues there. And then there's attitude question marks there that have evolved and gotten worse over time. And maybe that's, you know, based on situations that have altered who they are or what. But they were the cream of the crop in the league like 10 years ago. That was the kind of player that was like not just the face of the franchise, but becoming the face of the league. And then once the new CBA came into play, where it's like second apron, you're losing draft picks, it's not just paying out the luxury tax. There's a lot of stringent things that happen to you if you are over the cap in a significant way. It's almost like the tech crisis where, you know, these tech stocks were worth way more than really the value showed. It was a bubble. And now that we're in this new CBA, you're starting to see these types of players are just not nearly as valuable to teams as they once were. And that's why even without the issues with Ja and you know, Tomas and the organization as a whole and all the friction and scar tissue from prior years and injury history, like at the end of the day, Ja, despite all the things that we love about him, is not a great three-point shooter and is not a great defender, and he's undersized. And those three things hurt you and make it very difficult to build a roster that can win. And you need to surround them with a specific type of player all around the roster in order to give you a chance. And that's really hard when you're also paying other players a lot of money that you're locked into as well.
Yep. And played fewer games, I guess, than AD, Zion since 22-23. I mean, like significantly fewer too. At this point, that's the biggest thing. I mean, we were all rooting for him to grow. And I think Trista, my question for you would be, it's one I asked John, is this any different if you have a different coach, right? If you went a different route and you got the OG, you got the Ime Udoka type, I don't know, maybe it was Sam Cassell in terms of the dues he's paid, maybe it's not, but that type that we thought could speak Ja's language, are we having a different conversation or maybe not having this conversation at all? If you have that guy, but, and I want to include this, but you still decided not to give him the contract extension, because it feels like a lot of this might be rooted in that. He wanted that contract extension. He had changed his representation up. You didn't give it to him saying, hey, Ja, we need you to show up this year. I just wonder, even if you've got that OG coach that maybe Ja respects a little bit more because he's done a little bit more, are we still in this same boat because he didn't get the contract extension in your mind?
I think we're in the same boat because players like him are not worth $50 million a year anymore. What? Like, it's just what it is. And so no team, I don't think, unless you're talking about teams that are, how would I put this, bargain basement teams that never find players of this caliber. And yes, Ja's the best player probably in Memphis Grizzlies history, but I trust that you guys can find another franchise guy. I don't trust that the Sacramento Kings or the Washington Wizards can find that. And they just continue to sort of fumble the bag in that way. So that's a big name for them to get on their roster. And so I think maybe those type of teams would extend a player and overpay them. But the marketplace says you're not worth that anymore. In order for you to get paid that amount of money, and also Jaren's getting that same amount. Mm-hmm. So tying up $100 million in those two players, we already know what the outcome of that is. It's not good. The best case scenario is top of the West and early exits, and both of them have injury history. And Jaren's always in foul trouble. So to me, it's like we need to have a broader conversation about what Jaren's value is on the trade block, because I know he probably doesn't want to be a part, maybe he does, of a rebuild. If I was him, I'd be like, maybe it's time for me to go somewhere that I can get onto a contender.
Yeah, maybe so. We'll see. I'm sure it's all on the table here. You know, the Grizz are going to these they're in Germany for these I guess it's Germany and then UK, right, Jason? They go to the UK for
London. Mm-hmm.
So they're in Europe for these global games, and Ja has not played for the last several games for the Grizzlies here stateside. Seems like he is going to play in these global games. But, like, what do you make of that? Because they're trying to, you know, they're clearly trying to find a deal for him. He's an injury-prone player as is. Like, is this going to be a deal where they only play him for the global games and then they sit him again? Like, is that what this
– I think so. I think this was one of those situations. Didn't it just reek as Adam Silver is trying to do whatever the hell it is in Europe for the NBA Europe, which, like, feels very Project B-ish to me, where it's, like, a lot of noise around it, the very light on logistics, very light on how this whole thing's going to work or if it's going to work, but they're going to start in 2027, they said, so who knows? It feels like Adam Silver made a call and was like, you need to play Ja. You got to. Yep. We can't have no Ja in Berlin. Sorry. You got to. I know you're shopping him. You don't want him to get injured. I know that this thing has come to a head. But just make sure he plays in Europe and do whatever the hell you want to do once you come back stateside.
I'm with you. I think Nike probably wants him to play as well. Back to Jaren, something that you said there, because I think it was Rich Paul recently, and I thought I saw the clip. We actually might be able to play a little bit later, but I'll give it bottom line. Was talking to Max Kellerman, I think, and said that, to your point, Jaren Jackson don't want to be a part of a rebuild. The Lakers should be targeting him, and whether it's for a pick and some expirings or Austin Reeves, the Lakers should be willing to do it more. And basically pointing to Austin as, well, they're going to have to pay him, right? And he's earned it, and maybe the Lakers don't want to do it, so give him a chance to go somewhere and pay him. Do you think would that make sense to you, what Rich Paul suggested in terms of a restart for Jaren in a place like that? Does that make sense for the Lakers, and would you be willing to give up Austin Reeves to do it?
I mean, I think there's a lot there. And you have to sort of consider the source, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, clearly Rich is trying to do whatever he can to maximize the possibility of LeBron coming back next year and being on a real contender. Because despite the record, we know the Lakers aren't doing anything in any real way in the West. So I think it's him sort of trying to make a pathway where there's less friction in terms of production, but also like winning, because LeBron's defensive capabilities have declined because he's just old. And Luka's defensive abilities are kind of middle of the road at best when he's trying his absolute hardest. And Austin Reeves, very similar amount. You cannot have three guys that really are medium to negative defenders and win in any real way. So I think that's what we're looking at here. Is also, do the Lakers want to pay Austin Reeves $50 million under that same consideration I just talked about, where he's 6'5", 6'6", but he has all the same hallmarks of other guards who can't defend that you have to protect when it's a half-court game in the playoffs, right? So, and like, I don't even know. The question is how would you guys feel about that? Would you want Austin Reeves as your franchise player to build around?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to see the rest of it.
John doesn't. There's a lot of Arkansans that I think would come across the bridge and get behind it pretty quickly. You're kind of going the exact opposite of Ja, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally
white guy who plays. Isn't that like the J. Will 2.0, but you know, maybe a little bit of, I don't know, more wholesome version?
Definitely. And I think the fact that he was quote unquote undrafted, because like, let's be honest, he wouldn't have been undrafted if he didn't ask to be. But like, that's a guy with a chip on his shoulder, a guy who like didn't ever, he hasn't gotten the shine yet that Ja ended up getting, right? They're kind of actually molded in the same way where they've been underrated. Ja just kind of arrived right away when he entered the league, but sort of the same model in terms of guys who have been producing despite what other people have been saying about them for many years.
Yeah, it's just a total it's a total shift of playing style, right? Like, you're going to be
Lakers
rebuilding.
Fans love him.
Oh, I mean, he's a
that's what I'm saying.
He's a bucket. He just is a cone as well. So
yes.
you got to be ready to score, you know, 120
buckets that are cones. To me, in this era moving forward, unless there's a change in the CBA, are going to be really hard contracts along the way. Like, yeah, maybe year one, it's happy and fun, but like the mm-hmm. fifth year of Austin Reeves, mm-hmm. when he's making $80 million, whatever it mm-hmm. Is like, I just don't see that being a viable roster building decision.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'd be remiss if I got you out of here without, I mean, you want to talk about belt meeting ass.
Oh, God.
I mean, I got to say, some of the best content Trista Crick has put out in the last, I don't know, 2 to 3 years since she's been on this journey. She had, and again, we never know who your cameraman is. It's a great mystery, or woman. But the cameraman or woman was just watching you. It was like a watch-along with Trista Crick, but we only got 3 videos from the Oregon-Indiana game. It was a very quick watch-along. It ended pretty quick.
It was a quick night. it was a quick night. I mean, I was so excited, and that pick six off the first throw by Dante Moore. Honestly, that, in my mind, if you want to play like reverse Uno, was like, oh, well, Dante Moore clearly cannot go to the NFL now. He has to come back. This is just, he's not ready. And this is a guy that maybe the Raiders are thinking about drafting. So in a positive way, maybe Dante Moore and Dylan Raiola are going to be Oregon's quarterback one and quarterback two, which is actually awesome. But it was awful. It was one of the worst viewing experiences I've ever had as an Oregon football fan. And that's off of an ass whooping against Ohio State last year, where the first throw was to Jeremiah Smith for a touchdown for like 75 yards. And it was over before it ever started there. It was just a tough night. All I'll say, because I've been on the Le Batard show a few times recently, and they are very excited about Miami's chances here. But, John, you know as a bettor, in the national championship game, underdogs of 7 points or more lose like 75% of the time.
Yep.
So they believe they are going to pull the upset against Indiana, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to be really sad in Miami when you get beat at the crib in the national championship game to another Cuban guy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's absolutely right. I'm excited. I think he's going to be one of the most popular Raiders ever. Even though, you know, I really.
Do you want the Raiders to draft him?
Does he?
I mean, I'm resigned to it.
He can't wait now.
I mean, it's, and by the way, it's like there have been much less accomplished quarterbacks who have gone number one. Heisman, national championship.
True.
I mean, that's, you know, this is easy.
We have like 13 games of data from him, though.
That's all we had for Burrow.
I guess.
It is. He went to LSU, had the 1 year, and then that he won the Heisman, won the championship. Boom, worked out pretty well. I mean, if he can say if
except for that he's been on the run. The only thing that I could say that we know for sure is going to be the same is a bad offensive line and being under duress and probably getting injured in his first year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I see that.
Is he franchise changing and transcendent? TBD. I know he will be very well liked. The neurodivergence inside of him is very likable.
That was a nice way of saying it.
I have to look that up.
Did
she nail it?
She's basically saying he's on the spectrum, which he could be.
I think that it's like,
don't we have to be
it's
careful?
Very in vogue right now. If you've watched the rivalry, it's very in vogue.
It is because, yes.
All of us are a little neurodivergent in our own way. It just comes out in different, you know, ways.
I do think you have to be a little. I don't even want to imply, but to do this job, to be in the public eye in media, you have to have a little, like something's got
to
be
your
a little.
Your brain has to work a little different.
Yeah, thank you. I was trying to find it, but I could not find what I wanted to say without probably being offensive. So, yes, I think
we don't want to get you guys fired in the new time slot.
No, okay? That's
like, let's not do that. Yep. By the way, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Trista. That's very sweet of you to say. It's
I hope I played even a small part in your promotion.
Of course you did. Of course you did. Everybody I get texts. I got a couple texts already during this segment about how much they love you. People in Memphis just love you, man. So, yes, I think there's no doubt about it. I mean, if we ever had you weekly, it would just be like, you know, it would really be something. It'd be like catnip for these folks out here. So
I don't feel like I've ever gotten an ask for that since I left Odyssey.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to work something out.
Yeah, we'll definitely work something out. We'll go watch Fernando Mendoza light it up in Vegas as the number one pick. That's what we'll do. We'll do a live show out there.
Light up in the national championship. I can't bet college legally in Oregon, but I'm thinking about flying to Vegas just to take Indiana -7.5.
Well, it's 8.5. It's eight and a half now.
It's gone from 5.5 to 8.5.
Yes.
I don't care. This is a TCU situation.
It might be. Because, you know, I mean, I will say Miami has much better players than that TCU team
definitely
did. But I do think, like, there's just an, you know, overmatching here from a coaching standpoint and probably a quarterback standpoint.
Can we be honest? I was in Miami at a Miami bar watching a 6-0 game against A&M, just disgusting stuff. They had to intercept in the end zone A&M in order, which they were driving, and there was some sus stuff going on there. They squeaked out that win. They squeaked out the Ole Miss win. Let's be real. That was pass interference in the end zone with like 6 seconds left to go. And if you want to talk about a guy that I actually love, this Chambliss kid may be the next Patrick Mahomes. He is incredible. So I just don't really believe in the offense of Miami. There's been plenty of question marks and no question marks all season on Indiana.
Yeah.
Is Caleb Williams the next Patrick Mahomes?
God, he looks good, doesn't he?
Mm.
Wow.
Jason says his new nickname is Iceman.
It's not me. The world is calling
the world,
him that.
He's
seven
the world.
Fourth quarter comebacks, Trista.
Iceman.
Well, it can change really fast. This roster is much better than the Commanders, much younger. But, like, just 12 months ago, we were saying the same thing about Jaden Daniels.
Yep, don't, yep.
That's he true. Wasn't available. I mean, you know, it's his own, it's the Ja Morant factor. He wasn't on
the
field.
Got hurt. Yep.
You know, you got to be on the field. Well, who knows how different it would have been if he was, but I feel like we never even saw him anyway. I agree with you. It's only true until it isn't in the NFL.
Really quick, before you guys let me go, when did you guys change your opinion about Jaw?
Yep. Yep. This year, 2025. Year of 2025. And
when I came on two games in and you were like, you're tripping.
Yes.
So how many games in did you guys
Well, so three games after that, he quit against the Lakers and got suspended.
So around then?
Well, not even fully around then. But then, you know, he was complaining about the coaching staff. He continued to not be available. And then with every passing game, his three-point percentage dipped lower and lower and lower. And he has this sort of – his energy is so malevolent, you know. his energy this year has been so malevolent that it's like it's just been hard to watch. Between the missed threes and the not playing and the bad energy – you know, I don't know. I can't give you a date. I can't give you like an exact, this is when. But it was at some point, you know, through the course of this season where it just, I think, became obvious to most people who were able to be objective. Everybody can't be objective. And I understand that. There are fans who are like, they are appalled at the idea of trading away the only superstar the Grizzlies have ever had. And I understand and respect that. But if you're objective about it, it became obvious this year that a divorce is probably for the best for both parties.
What about you, Jason? You're not there yet, or you are?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm supposed to give away some tickets, and then there's a question of whether he was even there to give them away.
He had a ticket giveaway, and he didn't even give them away himself.
And if you're going to just be the Grinch, you know what I'm saying? After all these years, and I had all this hope in you, you can't even show up.
That's actually a good line.
And you make the other guys do it, sort of in that, you know what I'm saying, in that spot. And maybe the rookies are having to come on now. You know what I'm saying? And especially around that time.
Like Cedric Coward giving out the tickets instead of Jaw.
But the headline was Jaw, right? That was the thing about it. Come in. And I'll be honest with you, to your point, it's a great question because I didn't want to get pinned down. I didn't want to tell you the time that it kind of switched for me, but it's about coming to work. And then it's about at a time like that, you can't. I mean, and then you're showing us every single game. Keep in mind, he was sort of protesting at the end of Taylor Jenkins. Isolo gets the job. Ooh, bam, I'm back in. Edie's out there. My numbers are going up. It was a protest. And it feels like that's sort of where we are now, with him having been downgraded a couple times from questionable. Folks question whether or not he could have played that second game against the Lakers. I mean, that's it just kind of feels like where we are. You know, that's run its course. So
the word malevolent is so real, too, because we've all worked with someone who's, like, intentionally trying to sow seeds of badness throughout the workplace. And you're like, you are so good when you're on. And you are so good when you want to be here. But you are doing everything right now to bring the vibes down, the morale down, and the performance down to a point where now it's like you're doing more harm than even if you weren't here.
Mm. Well said, Tristan.
That's a word. That's a word. You're the best.
Thank you so much.
On.
Y'all are the best. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Yes.
We'll recircle back on Jaren in the off season. I know it won't happen at the deadline, but maybe in the summer.
Okay.
Happy to do that. Hopefully we'll get you on before then, but we will definitely do that in the summer. You're the best,
Absolute
Tristan.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Love y'all.
Love
Bye.
You too. Yep. She is Tristan Crick from and she does a little NBC work. She does the Daily Dub. Meant to ask her about WNBA. Forgot. We'll have to do that a little bit later, but appreciate her joining us on the show. Man, what a get that would be if I could get her to do weekly. That'd be a big one. She's a busy woman. She's doing a lot of stuff, man. She's got like 200,000 followers on Threads. You ain't even on Threads.
I got to get on. It keeps telling me that you and D-Nil are all having a conversation over there.
Bro, I don't use
all
Threads.
My people.
I don't talk on Threads.
It says your face is on there, though.
My face on there. I don't use it.
Because you must go in.
This
is a guy you know that's using Threads.
I'm an incredibly loyal X user. I haven't posted on Threads since July. And it was the
picture. So you're just a watcher there.
Us and William Bedford. That's all I did. Yeah.
But you go in and watch.
I occasionally will check in and see what they're doing over there. It's basically just Twitter. It's just Facebook instead. You'll have to take a look for yourself. Although we did get an update on the X bio from Jason over the weekend.
Yes.
We
made it official. You know what else we also did? You didn't notice. Blue check.
Oh, you
we
went.
We came out of shadow ban to blue check.
He bought the premium.
I had to.
Yeah, because you...
I said, this will get me out of shadow ban. My tweets, my ex posts need to be heard.
I did not realize
so
you did that.
I bought my way out.
But Jason, you don't tweet.
I didn't want to do that. You know what I thought? The journalist in me, the guy that would have hated Lynn asking those, you know, putting up that encouraging thing.
Yes.
The journalist in me said, no, you won't pay X to keep your blue check that you earned. Let it go. But y'all shadow banned me. Nobody was seeing my stuff. I'd tweet and John have to retweet me just for folks to see it.
Yes.
So I bought my way out $8 a month.
Yes.
I bit the bullet.
I just got a payment from X, $91.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. For my tweets.
It said when I hooked up $8, it said I could get paid.
Yeah. Now you have to have
content.
You have to have 5 million impressions over 3 months to be eligible to get the payout.
No wonder you're putting all your stuff on there.
Yeah. So I got $90 for like 5 million impressions for that span. But hey, I'll take $91. That'll do something. You know what I mean? That's an old tank of gas, old Jay Smooth would say. Couple tanks of gas these days. I don't know if you've seen oil prices plummeting.
Y'all gonna start seeing me post a lot more.
I'm excited.
John's $91.
I'm excited. Let's get back. You know, think about how much money you could have made in the days where you were live tweeting Pookie Powell missed layups.
Oh, man. Folks were on it.
You were live tweeting games, man. You were like score under 16 timeout score.
Yep. Should have paid for it.
Those were the days. Remember when people used to live tweet games?
Yes.
They don't do that anymore.
I'd give you more than just the score.
No, you would.
I'd give you the insight.
No, you would. I'm just saying, like, you know, we used to really do
a little
that.
Comedy mixed in there, a little journalism.
It used to be a thing. We'd like all get there. We'd like, all right, time to live tweet the game.
Yep.
Now we don't do it. Now it's like, you better not do that. Nobody wants to see that. We're all watching.
No, I'm back. I got the check. I'm paying for it.
Yep.
We've thrown journalism out of the window.
Absolutely. We're just entertainers now. All right, we'll be back. We're going to be joined by Jessica Benson at 11:25. We'll talk to her about the John Morant situation, the Grizzlies, and more. Stick around. J&J, 90 Chyna FM, ESPN. All right, we're back. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jessica Benson is going to join us at 1:25.
Now, she in Berlin?
Or excuse me, 11:25. My bad. No, I don't think so. I don't think she's in Berlin.
I saw Mike Wallace over there. It's cold over there, bro. It's snowing.
How do you say Grisbeet in German?
Sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Nah, bro.
Sprechen Sie Gris.
I'm going to get that for you.
No, I mean, come on. With AI now, yeah. We can make you say it.
Yeah. Die Grizzlies haben gewonnen.
Definitely reach to your roots there, your Arkansas Germanic roots.
Yeah, that accent only know from Call of Duty World at War. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Did you play that one?
I don't remember them by title.
Well, that was the World War II setting. That was the best Call of Duty game ever made.
Cool.
I will absolutely die on that hill, and they need to remaster it. It was a fantastic game, and it was like, you know, you'd be the Germans, you'd be the Allies, you'd go back and forth, you know. But
thank you.
It was a fantastic game, and that's where I picked up that accent. All right, the NFL coaching carousel is spinning. What do we got? 8 openings?
Yep, and LaFleur did not join it.
LaFleur did not join it. We will see on Pittsburgh. Do they join the fray? Maybe not with such a busy cycle, but it's possible. So let's go through this. ESPN.com, Dan Graziano, you know, I'm a little surprised he did this because, you know, with something like this, it kind of gets held against you if you're wrong because it's information stuff. But he predicted who each franchise is going to hire. So I'm going to give you the team and the prediction, and you're going to tell me what you would give that grade. Are you ready?
I think so.
All right, here we go. Arizona, Clint Kubiak, Seahawks offensive coordinator.
Everybody speaks highly of Kubiak, and I tend to lean that way as well. My concern would be who you're doing it with at quarterback. Because, frankly, if you convince yourself that Kyler Murray, I can do it with him, you're probably wrong. Now, that goes up to really a front office question for the Cardinals, and maybe that's the deal. You know, if you're Clint Kubiak, you need to know that it's going to be about moving on from Kyler Murray. That said, I have no reason to believe he's not going to be a stud in terms of a head coach. And I will say, now, is there much about that Seahawks offense that's dynamic? Yeah. You know, run games kind of come around here late.
Yep.
Frankly, when they've been blitzed here late, you know, Flores had – when they've been blitzed, you've sort of seen Darnold go back to the seeing ghost Darnold a little bit. So back to that point. That said, he comes from, let's be real, when you're NFL family, you know, you're going to get your shot. I guess he's got a good chance to be pretty good. You know, I always kind of held Shanahan, the fact that he was coach's son, everything else against him, thought maybe he'd been crowned a little bit early. But if you look at what he's done, I just think this year, one of his best years when you consider the way they've won with so much out. You know, I think a lot of times these NFL families, they usually end up hitting.
Right.
And a lot of times you get a pretty good one.
Right.
And so I think Kubiak is what was his dad, Gary?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably going to end up being a good one.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You've been around locker rooms.
You know, knows the division. I'm fine with that.
Know how to lead.
All right, Atlanta Falcons. Next coach, John Harbaugh. That's the prediction from Dan Graziano.
Yeah, basically that it's going to be a deal where somebody writes John the biggest check. And he's going to go with that.
Mm.
And he's saying that Arthur Blank, the Home Depot owner, Atlanta owner, will do it, write more of a check than Stephen Ross would. I don't know that to be true, Stephen Ross, the Dolphins owner. But I do get the sense that that's what Harbaugh is going to want, is you to give me my spot where I'm set for life. And, hey, if I have a bad season start here, there, whatever else, I don't have to worry about anything. I can trust that I'm going to be here until I say so. My guess is Atlanta or the Dolphins are willing to do that for him. Didn't it feel like at the time the Dolphins fired McDaniel to get in on this? So are we saying all of a sudden they're done and Steve Ross isn't going to try to top Blank in terms of what you're willing to offer? So I push back on this one a little bit because, I mean, while we've said the Dolphins doesn't seem like a situation for Harbaugh, at least in terms of winning right now, with the Tua situation, the cap, the situation as bad as it is, that you win immediately. I don't know that you're winning immediately with the Falcons either,
yep.
with Cousins and with Penix. So I'll just say Harbaugh Falcons. That one I'll push back against. I think I believe Miami more.
Ravens, Kevin Stefanski, former Browns coach.
Yeah, makes sense. Stays in the division, two-time coach of the year.
That's easy. I mean, I think Kevin Stefanski is good. I don't know. I don't really understand the logic behind firing him if I'm the Browns.
He didn't handle this year's situation well. He stuck with Dillon Gabriel for too long. And I can agree with you that he's good, but what's he gotten done for all that? Where are the playoff wins and everything else? I mean, right. In the end, that's what you're ultimately measured on. We're trying to say, are you good? Are you great? I mean, that's what comes in, and that's what he doesn't have. Here's another guy feels like we've crowned. And he was horrible with the Dillon Gabriel Shedeur Sanders situation this year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you would argue for Stefanski that he had 13 different quarterbacks and never had any stability and took a Joe Flacco led team to the playoffs. I mean, that would be the argument for him. But yes, he doesn't have the playoff results. But you know, I could easily. I'm just trying to. If I'm a fan, I'm just trying to talk myself into it.
Yeah,
it would be pretty easy. I'm giving him Lamar now. Conceivably, I'm giving him Lamar.
Let me just ask you, if the Steelers did decide to do something with Tomlin, you take Stefanski over Tomlin?
Probably.
Why? Because he's more modern and you've seen more from him of late? I mean, I know we've given him the coach of the year twice. But
I mean, I'd say, you know, yeah, he's done
Tomlin
a little.
Tomlin hadn't won any playoff games, but still. When I ask you about culture, Who do you trust more there?
Yeah, I mean,
it's gonna be Tomlin.
So. Yeah, it's hard because it's like how much of that is just the Cleveland organization? I don't know.
But they have to sell a better, because we said you're not going to get a guy that's better than Harbaugh, but you have to sell that at least with a two-time coach of the year who knows your division. That's what they'll say in the presser, right? That's
yeah.
What they'll say about Stefanski. So I can actually see it if they're not going to wait and see if nothing happens with Tomlin.
Since 2021, the Steelers are 48-39 with a minus 143 point differential. I don't know how that's possible, but it is the truth.
No quarterbacks, since Roethlisberger.
All right, Cleveland Browns, Mike McDaniel. He's got Mike McDaniel going to the Browns. His intel says they're looking for an offensive-minded coach, yep. And I guess that's he is an offensive mind.
I'm going to find you a better one. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't hold Miami's finesse, how I've called them a finesse offense that we know can't win in the cold. Maybe that's more about Tua than it is about Mike McDaniel. I do know that with Achane this year, I mean, they ran the ball well. How much of that is because, teams would zone up Tua and it helped you in terms of being able to have those running lanes? Was that – I don't know. Mike McDaniel has not proven he's a playoff-winning coach with that offense. Again, I could make a case it was more Tua, but I would find a different offensive genius. And did he change in his time in Miami? I don't know if those pictures aren't telling.
Right.
Have you seen the image change?
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen the image change since he started in Miami? And then
I know he did the glasses and stuff. Like
bro,
the shades.
He flipped it. I mean, got the hair wet.
Yeah.
And you just wonder, remember, he had done a great job, and again, I'm not putting this on him. I hope he still got it licked, but you just wonder if he got sucked up by that Miami life.
Mm-hmm.
I want a coach who's going to stay sane.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, Cleveland will get him back right.
Will it?
No,
you're right. I mean, he'll come out of that Miami look with those orange tinted glasses. You just look like a damn fool up there in Cleveland, all that smoke and smog.
I don't think he'll be a head coach. I think he'll be an OC.
You're looking like Don Johnson.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I wouldn't give it to him.
I don't know how accurate these are going to end up being.
Yeah, that was a strange one. Usually I like Graz's work. I think he's really wrong about McDaniel. That wouldn't make any sense to me.
The Raiders, Robert Saleh, former Jets coach, current 49ers DC.
Boy, y'all, we're doing a lot of retread action here.
I just think he's kind of a blowhard. I think he's doing a decent enough job with his 49ers defense, but I still don't think we've seen him really test it. I mean, that Eagles offense is an abomination.
If I were you, if I was going retread defensive coordinator and former head coach, I would go Flores over Saleh.
I would agree with that. Because Saleh,
I thought you would.
Saleh has Shanahan. Mm. You know? I mean, and that will hide a lot when you have Shanahan as the head coach. Now, Flores has O'Connell, but that defense.
Saleh did lose Bosa and Fred Warner.
He did. And again,
Fred's one of the best in the biz.
But are the 49ers in this position because of their defense?
No,
they
not
are
at
not
all.
In their position.
Not at all.
The Minnesota Vikings were only 9-8 because of their defense.
1,000%.
I think that's where I would come down on if you're going to go with a defensive coordinator, I would go with the one whose defense was better.
And we think Flores in the time in Miami might have just been, he was right. Challenging Tua was a bad move because Tua had hit a ceiling.
Right. Now,
we're starting to look at that maybe a little different.
The complications are that Flores is in litigation.
I know. Fitzy brought that up, and he's like, you wonder if he'd drop it.
Right.
And if the NFL would make him drop it.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
To be a head coach. I mean, it's letting him coach. It let him coach this Minnesota team and coach the mess out of him on that defense.
Yeah, it did. Let's see. Let me just see what the odds are. So Flores is still the favorite, though, at plus 212.
I like him better than Saleh for you.
I would not mind Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator for the Seahawks, because I think he will be good. I would not mind Stefanski.
Who was the guy that was barking at Saleh? Remember it was up.
It was Aaron Rodgers.
I thought it was another guy, or Saleh was barking at him, talking about after a game.
Oh, yeah, you're right, you're right. You know what I'm talking coach.
About? Yeah, a coach.
Who was that?
You know,
yes.
I don't see that with Flores. I was thinking
about Cohen.
It was Liam Cohen. Yeah, that's right.
Because Robert Saleh basically said that Liam Cohen's offensive staff was like a legal sign stealing.
See, Saleh needs to sit down somewhere. He's worried about the wrong things. We know.
And then Liam Cohen said, "Keep my name out your mouth."
That's right.
And then Saleh said, "I will F your world up." And then Lynn Jones said, "You the one."
See, something wrong with Saleh. Well, because he's messing with Lynn Jones' man.
Yeah.
And we know Cohen to be a good man, don't we?
I think Liam Cohen's a good guy.
I think Saleh might be about ready to fall apart is my point here. He might be any moment from a meltdown or whatever else. I trust Flores more. Get Flores over.
I think Saleh is like
we've broken this all the way down.
He's like a motivational defensive coordinator guy. He'll be great in that situation.
He's going to run the steps before the game and get you real fired up about his sweat running the stairs.
That's exactly right.
Great move, coach.
He's a complete meathead. He's a meathead, bro. I don't want.
I'm gonna let you say that.
He is. He's a meathead.
I'm sweating,
bro. He's like Ed Orgeron. He's like a bald Ed Orgeron. I don't need that, man. Yeah.
I want some schemes.
Yes.
I want. Yeah.
Show me some stuff. This is not 1975. Okay. Like there has to be some analytics.
Would we have said this about Dan Campbell?
Yes.
Were we saying these things about Dan Campbell, that he was a Neanderthal?
We did.
When he got hired,
we did say these things.
I know. That's all I'm saying. Are we misjudging Saleh here a little bit and doing the same thing?
He had Ben Johnson, and the minute Ben Johnson left, we saw what happened to the Lions.
And Saleh's been a head coach before. Dan, this was the first time through, and he was barking this stuff.
Look, that's fine. If you're
and you saw. And put on the glasses and call some plays over there. And come, like he's gotten his hands dirty, even though it hasn't always been pretty.
If you're gonna be,
he'll fire his OC if he's got to, or at least demote him.
He did, but if you're
Sirianni, wouldn't.
If you are a meathead, you better be willing to hire a super smart OC.
My point is, Dan's not meat. Yeah, he's not that. We were wrong about.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'm not saying you're wrong about Saleh.
Miami, he's got hiring Chris Shula. The grandson of Don Shula.
Getting more family.
I mean, there's a connection there.
More NFL family coming in.
I mean, that makes sense, but, man, that's pretty uninspiring. Just going with a family name because the granddad coach
Well, especially if you fired McDaniel thinking you were going to get Harbaugh and you end up with Chris Shula. You talk about a roller coaster for Dolphins fans where they actually thought they were going to get something. So. But who knows in terms of what he would do. What you would need is time there, like we've talked about, because they've got to find themselves a quarterback. They won too many games this year, frankly, to be in position to go get one of the top two. So
right.
It's going to be a while there, and maybe you do give it to some unknown and trust and say, well, give him some time.
Yeah.
Rams defense has been good, though.
Giants, this is going to be super disappointing for Giants fans. Jeff Hafley, Packers defensive coordinator. Just after they blew a 21-6 lead in the fourth quarter. I don't think that's happening. I just don't think New York is going for that. But Dan Graziano is saying that he's been high on their list for a while. Is there any chance they watch the Packers game? Because there's no way I'm watching that and saying, oh, I got to get that defensive coordinator as my coach.
Keep in mind, it was to the Iceman, who may be future Hall of Famer. We don't know.
You can't get off the field on a 4th-and-8? You're not a head coach.
Disappointing. He was already being held up. I just don't think these losses to the Bears are going to pull him back down. Seems like folks have sort of had this future, him getting ready for it for a while and sort of had this on the card that eventually he would be a head coach. So it does kind of feel like his time, despite the fact that they lost their last 5 games. I'm with you. I didn't see anything impressive enough down the stretch. And let's be real. That defense, once it got Micah, was when it was getting pressure. After it lost Micah, they couldn't get any pressure.
Yeah.
So he couldn't drum it up. He couldn't draw it up. Whatever else, he couldn't get it. So but you know, being a head coach, it's in many ways a much different thing. It's not just having being a lead on your side of the ball. It's delegation across the board. And so I'm not going to rule him out. To your point, I don't think Giants fans get very excited about this. That was not a Green Bay defense that was surging down the stretch.
Yeah.
It was one that was struggling.
Yep. And then finally, the Titans, Matt Nagy.
I mean, did Graziano put a brother in the bunch? Did he have one? Was it all the?
I mean, no.
It was.
No brothers for Dan.
It was all white man from town, like the movie Thinner, white man from town. every last one of them. Was a white man from town.
There's not a lot of black candidates, are there?
Like, didn't we were bumping out Raheem.
Mike McDaniel is biracial.
Y'all keep holding. Yeah, is he? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I know he doesn't feel like it, but he
seemed like he tapped in.
He did. I mean, we all go our separate. Some people We pick our directions. He picked, you know.
How many brothers did we fire?
Raheem.
Was there two?
No. Todd Bowles and Aaron Glenn kept their jobs.
Well, you would say Mike McDaniel, brother, but then you, well, on this side, you didn't.
Y'all would
you
say
argued
that. Y'all would say that because
right.
y'all won't let us have okay. Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. I was just saying here, this is a lot of white men from town coming into the league.
It is. I mean, again, like the only black candidate that seems to be out there is Flores.
Flores.
And maybe Vance Joseph on some level, but I don't really think he's getting traction.
So y'all just topped out being me.
Bro, Bieniemy is a thing of the past.
I looked at Brad. Brad looked at John for the answer.
Yeah, dude.
On the Bieniemy question.
Where is he?
And it's like, what? And why would Brad have that answer? I need to look to John on that. Why did he top
he's
out?
With y'all.
Y'all were interviewing him. Now he's part of a winner, 12 games. How come he doesn't have interviews? How come he's no longer on the list?
Man, that
y'all
time
killed him off.
Not only – he went from being an OC, right?
Remember, he went to Washington to go prove it.
Yes.
Right? Post-KC.
And then it was
– that's what we said.
And then it was a disaster.
They said he had to do it. It was a disaster.
Then he had to go to UCLA.
So it kills you, man. Mm-hmm. It kills you. That brother should have been given a chance a long time ago probably. And now he's probably past his chance.
Yeah, because it's not – you know, and this
we're talking about Hafka, whatever his name is.
What I'll give him is that, you know, Matt Nagy doesn't have to, you know, prove it.
Oh.
Like, he was the OC of Kansas City.
This dude twice hadn't called plays and is going to get a head coaching job. Come on. Maybe? No, you don't think Nagy's getting one?
I don't know.
It might not be this cycle, but it seems like people are ramping him back up to be a coach again.
Perhaps.
His plan for Trubisky was awful.
I don't think he's – he wouldn't be high on my list at all. I don't even think I'd interview him. I don't need to see that again. But yeah, I mean, I do kind of sympathize with that.
No, we've talked about it because a lot of it's not, you don't have those candidates at the defensive coordinator and the offense coordinator position. Remember, like last year, Glenn is a defensive coordinator. So he's in that position where, okay, some owner's going to take him seriously enough to give him the head coaching job. In this case, it was you coming home to the Jets.
Right.
But that being point, it's typically those guys that they're looking at for the jobs, and you don't have a lot of brothers in those positions, and certainly not offensively. Like, let's be real, the offense coordinator position is reserved mostly from white man from town.
Right, you know, white man
John's
from town.
People. Yeah.
That's right. I mean, I don't make the hires.
Do y'all remember Thinner? You seem like you do. Remember that? Oh,
I like the phrase.
It's a Stephen King movie.
Yeah. White man from town.
Yep.
Was it? Yeah. It was a good movie?
Yeah, he cursed
him. A little late for you.
Gypsy.
96.
Yep, Gypsy cursed him.
That was a random one.
Yep.
I don't usually just put you down for the mid-90s.
Able to pull that one out.
I'll have to look into it.
Some of my best work.
But it could be that kind of year. It could be a Thinner year for the brothers in the hiring cycle. I hate to say it. It seems like it's going to come down to the Raiders, as it usually does, because we're champions for diversity, as you know.
Yeah.
Remember what Al Davis did back in the day?
I did.
He said, well, look, we are going – I don't remember exactly what he did, but he's like
– Art Schell.
Well, there was something – I don't remember if it was – he did hire Art Schell. But I feel like there was something with, like, rosters and personnel that he pushed for. I'll have to, you know, read the book.
Didn't he also hire a Mexican-American coach?
Yeah, it was my man.
Before Archie?
Flores.
There you go. Was that before? Yeah, it was before, wasn't it?
Yeah, Tom Flores.
Yes. I mean, he legit was about some diversity.
Oh, yeah, he was. For sure. Now, again, it's like.
His son.
It benefited him. It was diversity that benefited him. Like, he wanted to have, you know, better players, right? He didn't want to have the old stodgy old white dude running around with leather helmets. Although Fred Biletnikoff was one of the greats. Who could forget Dave Casper?
Right.
Jim Otto. I mean, I could go down the list, brother. Ray Guy. one of the greatest punters to ever play the game.
Yep, out of camp.
George Blanda. Kenny Stabler. Now, these are names that really harken you back, aren't they?
Yeah.
But no, he definitely wanted to make sure that he could, you know, get your, you know, Ronnie Lotz out there and, you know, pick your favorite Raider safety from back in the day. Jack Tatum, the assassin, literally paralyzed a man. I don't think he was happy about that, but he did.
Mendoza.
Now we got Mendoza, the Cuban Jalen Hurts. Hopefully better, though. Although I'll blame the
Jalen
OC.
Jalen Hurts is shaking his head.
I'll blame the OC.
Rubbing his forehead.
I'll blame the, can I blame the OC? Jalen Hurts is so – we have seen him be
this
better.
This man compared this lame to me. I got a Jordan deal, and I won a Super Bowl.
Well, dude, he talked.